The scripture reading today is from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. This is the New Revised Standard Version. It's an old and familiar story. See if you can use your imagination to take yourself there. The women have not been able to go to the tomb because it was the Sabbath, and now they have their chance to go take care of the body of the one they had loved and followed, the one who had just been executed. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb. Taking the spices they had prepared, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified, and they bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the human one must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and all the rest. Now, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, or, as Kahu said, nonsense. And they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. Thus ends the reading.
Thank you, Becca. You know, this truly is amazing. So Becca is in Hawaii Kai. Some people are in the Isle of Skye. And we're all connected here together. And there's just a little bit of a glitch between timing when Zoom comes on and not. But here we are together. Joined together. This is the first time since 2019 that we have celebrated Easter face-to-face with folks. And yet, for the last 2 years, we have celebrated Easter in magnificent and wonderful ways on Zoom. And look at this. We get to have the world of Zoom with us here, and we can go back and forth between it. And I utterly love that gift. And I utterly love this scripture that was just shared with us. And there are so many, there each of the gospel versions, each of the gospels have a little bit different twist on the story of the resurrection, the story of the empty tomb. When I heard this story, there was a memory that flashed in my mind, a memory of about 5 years ago, just about 5 years ago. In the wee hours of the morning of the night that my father passed away, Mom and I were in his room. He had just passed, and a stranger appeared in the room. He didn't know Mom, didn't know me, didn't know my dad. He was just the person that worked for the transport company that was hired to come and pick up my father and take him to the mortuary. Yet this man entered the room with the utmost amount of reverence. And he walked up to my father's bed, and he began with the sheets that were there to wrap my father up, like in a shroud. And he did it with such kindness and such reverence. He didn't know my dad. He didn't know the 91 years of history. He didn't know my father's blessings, my father's gifts, my father's troubles. He didn't know Mom. He didn't know me. He just was there doing his job, and he was doing his job with such kindness. And then when he had finished turning and shrouding my father, he picked him up in his arms, cradled him like a newborn, which when you think of it, indeed, he was a newborn at that moment. And then he gently took him from the room, took him to the transport, took him away. I will always remember the kindness of this man who entered that space without knowing us, but knew how to be present in such wonderful ways. The Gospel of Luke tells us that the resurrection of Jesus, the realization of the resurrection of Jesus, begins with just such a kindness. Mary, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and these other women come to the tomb the day after the Sabbath in the wee hours of the morning, just before the light has come up, and they come to the tomb carrying ointments and spices. And one might think, well, they are probably there because that is the woman's duty in that time, to go and prepare the body for its final burial. But the truth of the matter is, in Jewish customs, a woman can come and attend to a deceased male or a deceased female, but only a man can come, or a man can only deal with a deceased male. What that tells us is that the women were not the ones who were given the cultural duty to go and help with the deceased person there in the tomb. The men could have been there as well, but they're not. The women are there, and so we think, well, maybe they are there because they are there to embalm, to further the process of keeping the body in some embalmed state, which is practiced by many cultures across the world, but not in Judaism 2,000 years ago. They are there for one specific purpose, because a body left unattended, decomposing, will begin to smell. Remember the story that is told in the Gospel of John, that when Jesus is called by the sisters of Lazarus to come to the tomb where Lazarus has been laid, because Lazarus has died, and it's 4 days after Lazarus has died, and Jesus goes up and tells them to remove the rock from the tomb, and the sisters say, wait, stop, stop. If you remove the rock from the tomb, the front of the tomb right now, the stench will be unbearable. But Jesus knew then, as God seems to know on Easter Sunday, that first Easter morning, something that no one else knew, which was indeed that Lazarus was alive and that Jesus is alive. But they are there for that purpose alone, that the stench of decomposition and the stench of what had happened would not linger on this, their beloved master and friend, but at least in this moment he would go to the next world not smelling. That's the kindness. That is a moment of kindness that grounded them being there. And because they are there out of kindness, they become witness the best news of all. They discover that the tomb is empty. He is not there. He has risen. They become witness to the best news of all, the news that brings us together 2,000 years later, because it begins with an act of kindness. And when you think about it, when you think about it, in almost all the stories of the appearances of the risen one to the people, to that first generation church, there is always kindness that is around it. Recall what happens. The women go back to the upper room where the boys are, and they tell the story of what they have just witnessed. They say, he has risen, he is alive, and they are greeted with an understanding that this is an idle tale, that this is nonsense. Imagine you have just witnessed the one who is your beloved, your master, the teacher, the one that you have put your life upon, and you discover that he has been killed, and then 2 days later you get to go there in the morning and you discover the tomb has been opened up and he is no longer there. Could there be any better news? And you get to tell everyone else who should be rejoicing, and they tell you it's nonsense, except for one, apparently. Peter. Because Peter hears their news and goes skedaddling out to the tomb himself to see what has happened. He does not treat it as nonsense. He treats it as truth and goes to see the truth for himself. That is an act of kindness. For while all the other 11 or 10 or however many are there are treating them as if they are just babbling idiots, he treats them as if they've spoken the truth. And in the very next story that will happen in Luke, two travelers two of the disciples on that very same day are walking to the town of Emmaus, 7 miles away, and a stranger joins them, and they get engaged in this conversation about this person, Jesus of Nazareth, and they don't recognize who is walking with him until they get to town, and they invite him in for a meal. In the kindness of that meal, when the bread is broken, they see who it is who is with them. In the story that we will read next Sunday about Thomas. Thomas comes on that same week, and he wants desperately to believe because everyone else is saying Jesus has come, Jesus has risen, but he can't. And Jesus appears and in kindness says, Thomas, doesn't castigate him, says, Thomas, if what you need to do is to touch my wounds, touch them. Touch them, it's fine. It's fine, you're okay. It's fine. And Thomas touches and believes. Even St. Paul, who has been busy persecuting the Christians, blinded on the road to Damascus, even St. Paul understands because there is a kind act. Ananias, who takes this man who has been persecuting the church, persecuting him, and takes him into his home and feeds him and cares for him until the scales fall away from Paul's eyes. It is in kindness, time after time after time, that we read these resurrection appearance stories. It is with people in acts of kindness that it becomes apparent to them. And how do they know to be so kind? How do they know to be so kind? How in a world that has just crucified this one that you have pinned your life on, how do you know to be kind? Because they have lived in the midst of such kindness for days upon weeks upon months upon years. The very fact that these women are given the chance to walk with and be with Jesus is itself a kindness because the culture said, no, you do not count. A woman's voice could not even be used in a court of law back then. If she accused somebody of doing some harm, no one would accept her voice in a court of law, but Jesus accepts him into his gathering of the beloved. It begins with such kindness. It begins with the very fact that every story that he has told, they have been hearing stories of kindness. The story of a sheep, one amongst 100 that is lost and gone astray, and the kind shepherd leaves the 99 behind to go and find that one. The story of a young man gone astray, squandering the wealth of his family, who decides to turn around and come back, and his father sees him from off in the distance and goes running out and kindly wraps his arms around his son and says, you are dead and you are alive, you are lost, you are found, let's have a party. The story of a reviled Samaritan who sees a Jew beaten on the side of the road and takes that Jew and puts him onto his donkey and takes him into the nearest town and pays for his care, something that the rabbi, something that the judge have just walked past instead. They are all stories that Jesus has told them of kindness, repeated after kindness, repeated after kindness. And just a few days before, there on Maundy Thursday, there on Maundy Thursday, the day we know as Maundy Thursday, that day of Passover, that day of gathered together there with everyone for that Last Supper. How does it begin? It begins with Jesus washing feet. We wash as the feet of the disciples. We all know that, but we all know and they know that it would, if anyone else had come to that room and said, can we join? Jesus would have washed their feet as well, no matter who they are. I recently saw a series of photos, a series of pictures that had been painted of Jesus washing feet. And there's the picture of the disciples' feet being washed, and there's the picture of a young man wrapped in a gay pride, a rainbow flag, having his feet washed. There is a woman who is in such grief that Jesus has moved from behind, from in front, washing the feet, to behind to embrace the woman. There's a There is a picture of a skater, a gang member, all of them having their feet washed. There's a picture of Donald Trump having his feet washed. There's a picture of Joe Biden having his feet washed. A picture of a Ukrainian soldier, a Russian soldier, the Pope, a priest, an imam, a rabbi. All these pictures of Jesus washing their feet. Not asking questions. Not saying, well, what do you think about this issue? What's your stand on this political issue? Instead, kindly washing feet. That's what they saw. That's what they experienced on the night in which he would be betrayed. And on the very next night, on the very next day, the day that we call Good Friday, when he has been nailed to a cross, a time when at any time that is in his life that he would be justified to perhaps let loose with a few foul words at the people who have been oppressing him, perhaps let a little spittle come out or something like, instead, he looks at the crowds and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There on the cross is kindness. On Good Friday, just 2 days ago, when many of us were gathered in here and we laid a cross right here in the front of the sanctuary, and at a certain time when Lena is playing beautiful music for us on the piano, we gave folks an opportunity to come and put themselves next to the cross, to pray there. And I came and I found myself in a place, normally I might go to the foot of the cross, but I was there in this part of the cross, where when I realized if that were indeed the cross, I would be right next to his face. And I can tell you, Friday was not a good day. Friday was not a good Friday for me. Friday was a difficult day of a number of different things happening that were stressing and stretching me so very, very thin. And I didn't handle it as well as I would want to. I didn't handle it well at all. And I'm sitting there right next to Jesus' face. And in my imagination, I said, if that were indeed where he is, what would he do? And I saw his face turn to me and said, it's okay. David, it's okay. Let it go. All is well. In the midst of the pain on the cross, there's this kindness of a face turned to me and saying, you are forgiven, let it go. They had walked with, they had journeyed with, they had broken bread with, they had sat at the feet with kindness personified, love wrapped into a guise of utter and total kindness every moment of their life with him. And so on that morning, knowing he is dead, they go to the tomb to do one last act of kindness, to not let him go into the dark night smelling of decomposition, but instead have those ointments and those spices to take him forward. And in that kindness, the best news of all happens. He is there. He is risen. He is no longer inside that tomb. Now, I can't guarantee you. I cannot guarantee you, if you were to walk out of here and commit yourself to, from this point on, I will be the kindest person in the world, that you're going to see the risen Christ. As those women, as Mary and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James and the other women, as they ultimately do, that you're going to have an experience of the risen Christ. I can't guarantee that. I can't guarantee that as you walk out of here and you get into traffic in your car and somebody desperately needs to get in and you slow down and you let them in and you wave them in and you wave at them so kindly that you're going to look in the rearview mirror and see Jesus sitting in the back seat with you. I can't guarantee you that if you happen to work for a company that does service calls or takes customer service for folks, and you are there to take the ire and the disdain of everybody who's so upset with their product, and you treat them with grace and kindness, that Jesus is going to come to you in your dreams, waking or otherwise. I can't guarantee you That if you're the kind of person that's going to take a flower and put it in the barrel of a gun that is pointed towards you of oppression, that in fact the ones who are pointing that gun are going to see Jesus in you. I can't guarantee any of that. But I can tell you this, that if you're going to live your life without kindness, if you're going to live your life see through lenses of hate, it is going to be very hard to see the risen one. If you're going to live in a community, in a culture in which the dominant way is to circle your wagons and repulse the stranger, it is going to be very hard to welcome the one who will indeed welcome all strangers. If we want to be an Easter people, if we want to live with the risen one by our side and within us, then perhaps, we need to be like that man who entered into the room with my father and kindly wrapped him and cradled him and took him on. Like the women who came to the tomb there to perform one last act of kindness. Like the very one who they emulated, who gave his life in kindness. It is there that we indeed experience the risen one. It is there that we indeed, as we embrace that, we live the risen one into our lives and share it with the world and with the community. Let us indeed be an Easter people. Let us be a people that are known for all the things we take our stands for, but also for people who are indeed kind. Amen.